Rusty Hills, Wild West. In the 1800s, in some parts of the United States, there used to be many cowboy towns. These towns were famous for their fights and crimes. There was a sheriff who was responsible for the peace of the town in cowboy towns. The sheriff had great power, but usually this power was not enough for the criminals. Many people had guns and rifles at home, and they loved carrying them. Daily life in a cowboy town was very different from today. The towns were not very large, but very crowded. People usually did not have proper jobs. Most men worked in gold or silver mines because there was a lot of gold, silver, copper, and other valuable metal mines in those times. The people were not rich, but they were happy. They used to have pubs and saloons for having fun. Especially young people liked singing and dancing. The old ones frequently kept themselves busy with gardening or feeding animals. They had small farms with some animals like cows, sheep, and chickens. The weather conditions in these areas were very hard. They were desert-like places, so building hospitals, schools, or other important buildings were very difficult. People could not have a good education. The only thing they had was their courage and guns. We can say that in cowboy towns, cheerful, calm people and merciless, fearful criminals lived together. Chapter 1. This is Rusty Hills. It is a cowboy town. It used to be very crowded. There were big families. The old streets were full of happy children. The shops were full of women and the bars were full of men. The old people used to keep themselves busy by gardening. Like every cowboy town, there were cowboys and cowgirls. What else do you think there were? A bank, a hotel, a saloon with swinging doors, and of course a jail and a sheriff's office. But now, most of the young people are living in the city. There are very few children running in the streets. The town is full of old people. Life in Rusty Hills is peaceful. It didn't used to be like that before. There used to be big fights every day. But now, the biggest rivals of the town quit fighting. One of them left the town years ago. The other one is still living in Rusty Hills. Now, everything is peaceful. Everyone wants it to stay this way. They don't even mention the old days. They have buried all the bad memories. What if someone comes and digs them up again? What if the two enemies meet again? No one has a good scenario. But what is the worst scenario? Just a few fists or a few bullets? John is the sheriff of the town. He is 55 years old. He is still good looking. He is reading a newspaper in his office. One of the news articles makes him sad. It's about a family. They are having bad times. The two brothers of the family cannot get along well. And one day, John stops reading. He needs fresh air. He goes to the porch. There is a motel opposite the office. He cannot stop to look at that direction. Then he hears a sound. Bam! Someone slams a window in the motel. I love this sound, says John. This is not the first time he hears that sound. Probably it won't be the last time either. Chapter 2. When the evening comes, John leaves his office. He goes home, prepares a nice dinner, and sets the table. It is a special day. He puts red roses and candles on the table. He places a little gift box carefully. He opens a bottle of wine. "That's her favorite," he mutters. Now it is time to get dressed. He takes a shower first. He sees the wound on his shoulder. Actually, it is a very old wound, but it never gets old for him. It still hurts him. Not the wound, but its memory hurts him. Then he goes to his bedroom. He combs his hair, puts on his best suit and his favorite cologne. He looks in the mirror. He likes what he sees there. "Just the way she likes," he says. He goes to the living room and looks at the table. "Happy 30th anniversary, Carmelita," he says. "I love you." Then he starts eating his dinner. Alone. The next morning, John is sitting in his office. He's thinking about last night. "Now, I will look out of the window. Then I'll hear the motel's window shutting," he mutters. "I love that sound," he adds. He looks out of the window. He sees Rodney. He is rushing towards the office. John and Rodney grew up together. John smiles when he sees Rodney. "Good morning, Rodney," he says. "I have some bad news," says Rodney. "He's coming back," he adds. "No way," shouts John. "He cannot come here. After all those years, why is he coming now, John?" he says. He is furious. But actually, he is well aware that he can come whenever he wants. John cannot do anything about it. Chapter 3. Rodney is still out of breath. John gives him a cup of coffee and says, "Tell me everything." "I was in the city yesterday," Rodney starts. "I ran into him. I tried to ignore him, but he saw me," he says. "That's okay, Rodney. Don't worry about it," says John. "He is coming, John. He is coming for you," says Rodney. Rodney is terrified. Unlike Rodney, John is very calm. "Let him come. I have an unfinished business with him," John says. He clenches his fists. He looks as if he is preparing for a fight. After a long silence, Rodney talks. "Please, John. Our town is finally peaceful. Let it stay that way." John sits on the porch. He sees the motel. The window is open. John waits for the bam sound. But no one shuts the window. He can see a table through the open window. A woman is sitting. She is a beautiful lady in her late 40s. She is busy with some papers. She raises her head and sees John. For the first time for a long time, she looks John in the eye. There's a sad look in her eyes. John doesn't know what to do. He smiles at the lady, but she doesn't smile back. "Be safe," she mutters. But John doesn't hear her. The wait takes a few days. John never leaves the porch. He wants to meet him there, the exact point John saw him for the last time. The moment John sees him, he feels a deep pain in his heart. "Billy," he shouts. Billy walks to the porch. He doesn't say anything. Their eyes meet. You can see the hatred in their eyes. The whole town is watching them. "Meet me at her grave in an hour," says Billy. He looks at the crowd and yells, "You'll all stay here. This is between John and me." His voice is bitter. His eyes are cold. He looks at John, spits on the ground, and then leaves. John sits in a chair and starts waiting. The idea of going to her grave makes him sad. He went there only once. It was the day of the funeral. He cannot help thinking about those days. The memories are still fresh. Could everything be different? Could he have a happy and peaceful life again? Did he do the right thing? And the most important thing of all, was there any way to save her? He asks these questions every day. The answers change every day. He is tired of trying to find the right answers. The best scenario is, in less than an hour, he may find the one true answer. The worst scenario is, in less than an hour, he may stop breathing. He is feeling relieved now. Finally, it will end. After all those years, I will find peace, he thinks. He doesn't care about living or dying. He just wants it to end. With these thoughts in his mind, he leaves the office. He takes a deep breath. He feels the cool breeze. Rodney wants to go with him, but John doesn't let him. "Don't follow me. Billy is right. This is between me and Billy," he says. John arrives at the graveyard. Billy is standing next to a gravestone. John approaches Billy. His cold eyes are filled with pain and anger. "I did my best to forgive you, John," he says. "So did I," John says. The tension is mounting. The two men are looking at each other in the eye. "But I couldn't," Billy says. His voice is deep and scary. "Neither could I," says John. His voice is firm and threatening. He grabs Billy's collar, and Billy grabs John's collar. They stand at each other. "Do you ever think of her?" asks Billy, pointing to the name on the gravestone. "Every day," answers John. Chapter 4. Billy doesn't say anything. He punches John in the face. John fights back. They punch and kick each other for a few minutes. The biggest enemies of the town are fighting again. Everyone knows that this is the final fight. Does every fight have a winner and a loser? Not this time. There's no winner in this fight. There are two losers and two different tragedies in it. After crawling on the ground for a few minutes, the two men stand. "Let's finish this," Billy says. He takes his gun and points it at John. John points his gun to Billy too. This really is the final fight of these two enemies. After a few fists and punches, it is time for the bullets now. Not a bullet, but a man's voice ends the fight. "That's enough. You are brothers, remember?" It is Rodney. "I told you not to come," shouts John. "And I'm glad I didn't listen to you," Rodney answers. Rodney comes to the grave. With tears in his eyes, he starts talking. "Look at yourselves. Billy is your brother, John. You used to love him. You used to take care of him. Did you forget of all these things?" Then he continues. "One day, John came to me. We were little children then. He was crying. 'You were very ill, Billy. You slept for days. Your temperature was very high. You were delirious. John was eager to do anything to make you better. He went to the woods to find some herbs, but he couldn't find the way home. How can you forget that, John?'" Rodney is crying, but he continues to tell his story. "Listen to me carefully, Billy. You were lost in a deep sleep. You talked in your sleep. All you said was your brother's name. How can you forget that, Billy?" But the two men aren't impressed. "Then we grew up, Rodney," says John. "And things changed. He killed my bride," adds Billy. He kneels down next to the gravestone. "Oh, my beautiful Carmen," he cries. "It was an accident, Billy. It was an unfortunate accident," says Rodney. "Actually, it wasn't an accident," says John. "What are you talking about?" asks Billy. He is shocked. "I thought it was an accident. You said that it was an accident," he shouts. "I lied," says John. He is very calm. "Let's finish this today. I'm tired of living with this lie, he adds. The two brothers sit next to the gravestone. Rodney is with them too. John starts telling his story, the true version of it. Billy is listening eagerly. He really needs to learn the truth. After all those years of pain and hatred, he needs forgiveness. He needs to forgive his brother. And he also needs to be forgiven. Do you remember the night of the flood? 1 week before the wedding? John starts. Of course I do. How can I forget it? It ruined our home, Billy answers. It also ruined Carmen's plans, says John. What plans? Asks Billy. Don't ask anything, just listen, says John. Let's travel in time and go 30 years back. John is 25 years old. He is good-looking. He is very popular in the town, especially among the young ladies. One day, a new family moves to Rusty Hills. Actually, no one likes strangers in the town, but they welcome these newcomers, especially John. Because this family has a very beautiful daughter, Carmelita. She is a great rider, she is very good at shooting her rifle, and she uses her lasso perfectly. Before long, John and Carmelita fall in love. Carmelita is the perfect girl for John, and John is the perfect boy for Carmelita. But just a tiny little flaw is enough to ruin the perfection. And the name of this flaw is Carmen, Carmelita's cousin. Her family sends her to Rusty Hills for a few weeks. She needs to stay away from here for a while, says Carmen's father. No one asks for another explanation. They are happy to have Carmen with them for a while. She stays there for a few weeks, then for a few months, then a few years, then forever. Billy falls in love with Carmen the moment he sees her. Carmen falls in love with Billy the moment she sees him. They make a cute couple together. The four of them spend a lot of time together. Then, John becomes the sheriff of the town. John and Carmelita start making wedding plans. A few weeks before the wedding, Billy proposes to Carmen. She accepts the proposal. Everything is like a dream. They are all very happy. They decide to have a double wedding. As the day of the wedding approaches, John notices something. There's something unusual about Carmen. She disappears a lot. John doesn't mention this to Billy. He is very happy and John doesn't want to ruin it. He starts following Carmen. She meets some strangers. They have quick and short talks. Carmen tries to make sure that no one sees her. But John sees her. Chapter 5. John decides not to say anything to Billy and Carmelita. He wants to find out the whole story. Maybe she is planning a nice surprise for the wedding. Who knows? John is very busy with both wedding preparations and the office work. He is a new sheriff and has lots of work to do. Some minor quarrels between neighbors, the usual bar fights, stolen horses, other minor thefts, etc. He is luckier than the sheriffs of the other towns. Some of them have really big problems and dangerous criminals. The bank robbery in Roaring River, the criminal brothers in White Mountains, the vandals in Windy Park. The list goes on and on. There's even a murderer on the top of the list. I love my town, thinks John. This is the most peaceful cowboy town on earth. 10 days before the wedding, it starts raining. It rains for 3 days. It ruins everything. It damages the fields, the barns, the houses, and the roads. After 3 days of rain, the flood comes. It nearly sweeps everything on its way in just a few minutes. The whole town is in chaos. some people are lost, some people are injured, and unfortunately, some people are dead. John is doing his best to provide help. His brother Billy is with him too. There are two emergencies in two different parts of the town. One is in the south of the town. A young couple is in trouble. Their house is badly damaged. The other one is in the north of the town. People saw some strangers there. They were fighting. "Go and help that young couple," says John to Billy. "And I'll check those gunshots," he adds. Billy agrees. "Be careful, brother," he says. These are the last nice words John hears from Billy. They part as brothers. They will meet again as enemies. Chapter 6. When John finds the place, everything is calm. He sees some footprints, but there is no one around. It is obvious that there was a fight there. He sees bloodstains on the ground. He starts following the stains. They take him to the woods. He is very cautious. There's a golden necklace and a diamond ring on the ground. Is it a theft, he thinks? Maybe the thieves had a fight. He starts hearing voices. Two people are arguing. One of them is a woman and the other one is a man. "Of course I love you," says the woman. The man says something to the woman, but John cannot hear it. "It is just a part of the plan." "Remember, it is your plan," answers the woman. She is crying. The man sounds very angry. "Do you love him?" he asks. "Love that fool? Of course not," the woman replies. John is walking very slowly. It is still raining. The rain makes it hard to hear the voices. He wants to see the two people. Just a few steps more and he can see them. He can see the man's face. He is a stranger. He cannot see the woman's face. There are a few sacks on the ground. They are full of jewelry. "Take these and go. Please, I'm begging you. I will find you," says the woman. John is sure that they are thieves. They stole the townspeople's jewelry. People were too busy to take care of their belongings. Now the thieves are planning to run away. John has to do something to stop them. He is the sheriff and he is responsible for the safety of Rusty Hills. He is very nervous. He is a new sheriff. He is not experienced. He has never used his gun before. The woman hugs the man. It is a perfect time to do something. So John shouts, "Hey, who are you? What are you doing there?" The answer is shocking for John. The man takes the sacks and starts running. The woman looks at John and shouts, "Don't move, John. Let him go." There's a gun in her hand. John is shocked when he sees Carmen. "Carmen, you? What's going on here?" he asks. "There's no time for chat, John," she says. She is pointing her gun at John. John can see the man. He is running, but the sacks and the rain slow him down. He could catch the man, but he has to start chasing from right now. "Let me pass," says John. There's a hostile look in Carmen's eyes. "I don't want to pull the trigger, John, but if I have to, I will shoot you. Let him go," she says. John takes a step and bam! He is shot. Chapter 7. "What about Billy?" asks John. "I never loved him. He is the brother of the sheriff. It is a great advantage for a thief. You would never suspect your brother's girlfriend, would you?" she says. She is laughing. John is bleeding very badly. His shoulder is killing him. He is an inexperienced sheriff. He is a wounded man, but he is a loving brother. When Carmen says all those things about Billy, John gets really angry. His anger gives him strength. He grabs Carmen's hand. He wants to take the gun. They start fighting. Then John takes the gun and pulls the trigger. He shoots Carmen. Her lifeless body falls onto the ground. John has to make a plan very quickly. After hearing the gunshot, the townspeople will be there in a few minutes. He cannot tell the truth. It will hurt Billy. So he decides to make up a story. But before he can think of anything, he passes out. Rodney is the first to arrive. A few minutes after him, a few more people come too. They take John to the doctor immediately. The doctor stitches his wound and gives him some painkillers. John sleeps for a while. When he opens his eyes, he sees Billy. "How are you?" Billy asks. "Not dead," answers John. "How did she die?" Billy asks. He is devastated. When John sees his brother's eyes, he decides to make Carmen a heroine. Her death devastated Billy. Her lies would kill him. "She tried to protect me from the thief. He shot me in the shoulder first, and then he aimed his gun to my head. Carmen fought with him, but she had no chance. The man shot her and ran away. This is all I can remember. She died trying to protect me," says John. "She loved you, Billy. She called your name in her last breath," he adds. Chapter 8. Billy is furious. "You couldn't save her?" he shouts. "You are the sheriff, not her. You have a gun, not her. It is your job to catch the thief, not hers," he continues. "Calm down, Billy." "He didn't do anything wrong," says Rodney. But it is impossible to calm Billy down. "You should be in the grave, not her." "Why didn't he kill you?" asks Billy. "I don't know," answers John. Then Billy leaves the room. Billy stays in the town for a few months. He never forgives John. They become the biggest enemies of the town. After this unfortunate incident, John loses Carmelita's love too. First, John wants to postpone the wedding. "We cannot get married just 1 week after the funeral. Let's wait till Billy feels better," he says. Carmelita is very angry with John. "My cousin died because of you. Do you think I will marry you?" "My parents will never allow me," she says. Then she leaves John. But deep inside her heart, she never forgets John. She never loves anyone else. She never gets married. They secretly go on loving each other. The truth is that Carmen stole Carmelita's and other people's jewelry and tried to run away. How could John say that to Carmelita? The truth is that Carmen never loved Billy. She never wanted to marry him. She just used him to earn the sheriff's trust. How could John say that to Billy? So he made a choice. John never told the truth to anyone. And now, after all those years, he realizes that he made a wrong choice. Hiding the truth was a big mistake. John finishes telling his story. There are tears in his eyes. "I didn't know what to do. I ruined everything. I'm sorry, brother," says John. "You tried to protect me from a broken heart, brother," says Billy. "I tried to do the right thing, but I lost both you and Carmelita," says John. "It wasn't your fault. I was too blind to see the truth. After all those years of loneliness and hatred, we shouldn't waste a single minute. We should start living again," says Billy. The two brothers hug. They hug for minutes. They want to forget all those bad years in a few minutes. They hug with love. They hug with longing. They hug with regret. That hug kills all the hatred, all the misunderstanding, and all the bad memories. They hug like two old men, trusting each other. They hug like two little children, supporting each other. Rodney is watching them with tears in his eyes. "Finally," he says. They all go to the sheriff's office. The townspeople are still waiting. When they see Billy and John, they are all relieved. No one asks any questions. They leave the two brothers alone. John looks at the hotel. The window is open. The beautiful lady is watching him with tears in her eyes. John cannot tell if she is happy or sad. Billy and John spend the next 2 days chatting. Billy talks about his life in the city. He is making pack saddles to earn his life. "Why don't you move back here? We can live together, just like the old times," says John. "That sounds great," Billy says. "Well, what about you, brother?" asks Billy. "I see you are living alone." "Why?" he continues. "Carmelita never forgave me, and I never loved another woman," John answers. "This is not fair," says Billy. "Well, life itself is not fair, brother," says John, with a bitter smile on his face. "Do you miss her?" asks Billy. "Every day," answers John. "Every minute of every day." Chapter 9. John is back to his old ordinary life. He goes to work every day, comes back home in the evening, and eats his dinner. He is usually alone. Sometimes he goes out with Rodney. Rusty Hills is back to its old ordinary life too. People work the whole day, then they go to their homes. But there's a little difference. The hotel window is always open. The beautiful lady inside, Carmelita, doesn't shut it when she sees John. The hotel is full. There are a lot of customers. Actually, there are more customers than usual. People are coming and going with suitcases in their hands. John is happy about it. Carmelita is good at her job. He wants her to be happy and comfortable. One evening, John is sitting in the living room. He is reading a book. There is a knock on the door. John opens the door and sees Billy. "Hurry up, brother. We don't have much time," he says. There's a big smile on his face. "What's going on?" asks John. "Don't ask anything. You have half an hour. Take a shower and put on your best suit. You should look handsome tonight," Bill answers. "Why?" asks John. "Nothing. We will have fun tonight," says Billy. John is accustomed to Billy's surprises. When they were little children, Billy used to come up with a crazy idea all the time. They had great times together. Sometimes they had fun, and sometimes they got into trouble. But they always had great moments. So, John doesn't ask any more questions. He takes a shower. He doesn't care about the wound on his shoulder. He doesn't even see it this time. He puts on his suit and they leave the house. They go to a saloon. There are a lot of tables. It is very crowded in the saloon. Nearly all the tables are full. "I guess the whole town decided to go out tonight," says John. "Maybe we should go somewhere else, huh?" he adds. "No, mister. We are in the right place," says Billy. "What do you mean?" asks John. "Life is fair, brother," says Billy. Just at that moment, John understands what Billy means. Carmelita enters the saloon. Everyone is looking at her. She is very beautiful. She looks like an angel in her wedding dress. John is speechless. He turns to Billy. He wants to say something, but Billy stops him. "Don't waste another moment," he says. The two lovers, John and Carmelita, walk towards each other. When their hands meet, they both start crying. All the guests are crying with them. Everyone loves surprises. "What about a surprise wedding ceremony?" Here's how it happened. Billy talks to Carmelita and tells her everything, the truth about Carmen and her death. He tells her that John still loves her. He proposes to Carmelita in John's name. Carmelita accepts, and they decide to prepare a surprise wedding ceremony. After all the suffering, he deserves to be happy, says Billy. You both deserve to be happy. Carmelita and John get married that night. They have a great party with their friends. What's more, Billy meets a beautiful lady. Her name is Darlene. There are a lot of things to celebrate. John and Billy make peace. Carmelita and John get married, and Billy decides to move back to Rusty Hills. This is just the beginning of a long and happy life ahead. After the party, John and Carmelita come home. John remembers his lonely anniversary dinner. He remembers all 30 of them. He tells Carmelita about his little ritual. I bought a gift for each anniversary, he says. He brings a big box. It is full of gift boxes. Carmelita starts opening them one by one. She has 30 boxes to open and several years to live happily with her husband.